Okay, would you turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 4, please? Exodus chapter 4. And we will start. When I was a junior high student in Seoul, South Korea, many centuries ago, seems like it at least, we had a classmate who had to commute from the outskirts of Seoul and by train. You know, because of distance, he should have gotten up all year and get to school on time. But he was a junior high. When you were junior high, did you think? No, we didn't, right? Being a typical junior high, he didn't, and he always showed up late at the first class. Consequently, he got punished for his tardiness every morning. Again, this particular day, he was late, and the homeroom teacher got tired of punishing him. By the way, the South Korea teacher's idea of punishing is not just put him in the corner. They literally beat you up with a stick. It works really fast. The kids get it. He got tired of punishing him every day, so he asked the student, "Give me one good reason why you are late. If it's good enough, I'll let you sit instead of being punished." So the student said, "Well, the train had a flat tire." Teacher didn't think about it. He said, "Okay, that's reasonable. So go ahead, take a seat." And then he dawned on him, how can the train have a flat tire? So he got punished more for the lame excuse. Last week, we learned that Moses encountered God in the burning bush on Mount Horeb in the wilderness. God assured him that he would be with the Israelites, and he is going to use Moses to deliver them out of Egypt to the promised land where the milk and honey flow. But Moses had a full lame excuse, which we are going to learn, why he is the wrong guy to do the job God wants him to do. Hopefully, we would learn an important and valuable lesson not to come up with any lame excuse to the Lord from this study. Let's stop and pray. Father, again, we come to you and looking forward to hearing from you because you always speak the truth to us. We know that you call each one of us, not particularly one person as a pastor and the rest of them not doing anything, but you have a call for all of us. And we want to know. And we want to do job well, so that someday you will tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, we are asking you to open our heart so that we may hear from you, not from a man. And Father, we pray that you anoint our heart, that we understand everything you've bestowed for us. And Father, we also pray that your anointing to be upon the one who speaks, that he may only speak your words. And Father, we pray for this upcoming election. Father, we pray that the people who honor you will be in the office. People who would not kill babies, people who would not destroy the liberty and the freedom that in this country. Father, we pray for this coronavirus to be gone. And we also pray for President Trump and other politicians who are in the office. Remind them they are not in the office because of their will, but by your will. Give them strength, give them courage, give them wisdom to do what is right in your sight. And we also pray for our troops, law enforcement personnel, and the firefighters. We're especially lifting up the one particular family, the fallen officer's family, and their friends. Father, we're asking you to comfort them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 4 in Exodus, please. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me and listen to my voice. Suppose they said, 'Lord has not appeared to you.' So the Lord said to him, 'What is it in your hand?' He said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. Moses fled from it." I would too. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord has said to him, now put your hands in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous and like snow. And he said, put your hand back in, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in the bosom again, drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, then they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe that even these two signs, or they listen to your voice, then you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. And the water which you will take it from the river will become blood on the dry land. Stop there, please. The Lord promised Moses that he would be with them all the time and give the word to speak and miracles to follow on his behalf so that he is the man to prove that he is sent by God. Instead of trusting the Lord, Moses' question went from curiosity to unbelief in no time. At the beginning, when he was trying to inquire what is the situation with the burning bush, but not consuming, and it was a curiosity, and pretty soon it became an unbelief. Have you ever questioned God? What if you are wrong, God? Have you ever done that? Of course you did. You may not use the exact word, but on your unbelief, our unbelief and our worry in our heart is the same thing as to say, I am not so sure about you. What if you are wrong, God? Nobody can blame us for having a little anxiety before we take a leap of faith. It is one thing to have a little anxiety, but it is a completely different thing to have a cold feet and not trust God. The favorite lame excuse we come up with to God is what if, right? Isn't it? What if? Absolutely nothing wrong to prepare everything before is seemingly impossible work. But it is completely wrong for a believer to doubt the Lord. Doubt is a serious problem. Whenever we have that the number one lame excuse, what if, let's ask ourselves to come up with one occasion when God failed to keep his promise. We will not find it. What he promises, what he keeps. It is good when we have no confidence in our fleshly capability. But it is bad when we lack confidence in the Lord. Let's talk about the rod that Moses was carrying. Does it have any power? I'm asking you. Does it have any power? No. It's just rod. Piece of stick. No, but in the hand of God, it displays God's authority and power. Please remember this. The Lord uses what we have, not what we don't have. Where God guides, God provides. Are you with me? Where God guides, God provides. If he called you, he will equip you. I can expound this to our finance, individual finance as well as church finance. Some of you might say, oh, when I have more money, I will tithe. Have you ever heard about that? Or maybe you are thinking that. I really don't think you would. If you're not tithing now with the little money you have, you certainly will not tithe when you have more money because your greed will kick in. And you're thinking, isn't that a little harsh for you to say that it's a greed? There's two things, actually. It's distrust of God and the greed. You think that God cannot help you if you give a 10% to God or whatever the percentage you choose to do. You need this much to survive and you're taking out this much. And how are you going to survive? That's where the trust comes in. And you think that you have to have it. It's your greed. And when you have more money, you want to keep that thing. Tithes and offerings are not for God. Therefore, our faith, trusting God to meet our need with less. By the authority of the scripture, I can tell you that God meet all of our needs. Does he? He does to me every month. I may not see the sea opening in front of me, but he meets my need every month. In verse 4, we see the faith of Moses when he reached out to grab the tail of the snake. You know, normally you don't put out the hand to the snake tail. I don't know much about the snake, but it can turn around and bite you, right? If you have to grab the snake, you grab the head. Only person who would grab the tail is like this guy, crazy guy. The guy, he's dead. Steve Owen. I wouldn't grab the snake by tail. I'm too chicken for that. My mama might raise the stupid but not suicidal one. Listen, Moses did not get beaten by the snake, formerly known as a rod. Moses killed the Egyptian with his own hand. Now God is willing to use that murderer's hand to do mighty work for him. Moses is suffering from his self-inflicted failure conscience that he did 40 years ago. This teaches us a great lesson for us. We should not run ahead of God nor be dragged by him. We should walk with him side by side, led by the Holy Spirit to do his work in his way, according to his timeline, not ours. Our timeline is always now, isn't it? All right, let's go to verse 10. By the way, that was the first lame excuse. What if, right? Second excuse is I'm not good enough. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech, slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes the mute and the deaf and the seeing and the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Again, stop there, please. The Lord told Moses, his name is I am that I am. Remember that? But Moses' excuse is I am not, because he was looking at his own failure instead of the Lord and his unlimited power. Moses insists that he's not eloquent. Apostle Paul himself, remember he said, I am not eloquent. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he's not a skilled speaker. But our God does not need anyone who has a great oratory skill, but willing servant who can speak through the man and woman. Besides, according to Stephen, remember one of the deacons of the early church in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 7, Moses, according to him, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So one of them is lying. I would think that it's a Moses case. In verse 11 is a rather difficult verse to accept and comprehend. The Lord told Moses that he is the one who created the mute and deaf and blind and other people with a handicap. In other words, he's taking responsibility of those precious people's handicap. Why? I don't know. Why he does what he does. But I'm not about to ask him why you do that. Why don't you make everybody healthy and normal? But probably he will ask me, what is your idea of normal? The things he does is way above our comprehension, isn't it? We only see small portion. I said the same thing on this morning's devotional. Some of you guys got it. Most of you guys got it. And if you are not getting it, maybe you should check a junk mail folder. While Moses was busy coming up with the lame excuses, He missed out a great important lesson in God's message. He is sufficient for all of us, no matter what kind of inadequacy we have. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Are you guys hot? No? You are hot? I think you and I are just having a hot flesh. Chapter 12, verse 9. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my iniquities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take a pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." It is hard word to swallow. We like comfort. We like easy life. But the Lord is telling us that's not always the case. Lame excuse number 3. Let somebody else do it. In verse 13. But he said, "O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the word in his mouth. And he shall be with your mouth and I shall be with your mouth and his mouth. I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people. And he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs." Eventually, Moses showed the truth from his heart. He just didn't want to do it. Benjamin Franklin once said, "It's a common for men to give pretend reasons instead of the real one." True. There's a big difference between being scared of doing something new and flat out unwilling to do. The case in point here with Moses. All of us are called to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to people around us. It's not a job for the pastors and elders and deacons and evangelists only. All of you. Every one of you, if you are born again Christian. The real reason why people are gun shy about this is they don't want to face the rejection. And they're thinking, what if they say no? In case you haven't noticed, I give an altar call every Sunday. Almost every Sunday. Most of the time, nobody show. That's all right. But just in case there is somebody, I give an altar call. You are not, listen carefully, please. It is not you who bring the people to Christ. Did you notice that? God is simply using your vocal cord to speak the salvation message to that person. It is the Holy Spirit's job to bring that person to Christ. So don't evaluate yourself too high and thinking that since I'm up here, if that person does not respond, then I'm going to crash and burn. Don't worry about it. Do that. Give a message to that person. Remember what I said often? There's something better than going to heaven. You know what that is? Taking somebody with you. How do you know that person might say yes? Now you're going to panic. Now what do I do? That's a good problem to have, isn't it? Don't worry about it. God will put the right word in your mouth. Just be available. All of us are called to serve one another. Some people think that they shouldn't have to. I call them spiritual snobs in the church. You don't want to be in that category, because if you do, you are the one who is getting missed out the word from the Lord. Well done and good and faithful servant. The Lord finally let Moses have his way. Aaron is stepping into his role. However, Aaron turned out to be the source of several problems later. He let the people do, come up with a golden calf worshiping. And as a matter of fact, he's the one who fashioned the golden calf and building the altar for him, altar himself. And two of his Aaron's son, remember, they came up with a sacrifice that God did not call out. That in the Bible, it called a strange fire. And that he was the leading mutiny against his own brother, Moses. How tragic that Moses was willing to trust a mere man instead of almighty, powerful God. Do we trust men? Yes, we often do that. You rather trust God more than man. Amen? Let's go to verse 18. Excuse me. Now we find that excuse number 4 is haphazard attitude. So Moses went and returned to the Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go, return to Egypt, and for all the men you sought your life are dead. And then Moses took his wife and his sons and let them on a donkey. And he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before the Pharaoh and which I have put in your hand. I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn. Verse 24. It came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him, sought to kill him. But Zipporah took the sharp stone and cut out the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely you are the husband of the blood to me. So he let him go. Then she said, you are the husband of blood because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So he went and met him on the mountain of God and kissed him. So Moses told Aaron all the word of the Lord who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered all together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the word which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. When they heard that the Lord has visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Did you notice Moses left out a few things when he talked to his father-in-law Jethro? Such as, he met God and talked with him and God gave him the new assignment. Why did he not include those things? Because he was not taking this job seriously. Verse 24 puzzled many people to make them wonder why God called Moses and now he tried to kill him. It is because of Moses' half-hazard attitude toward God's call. Number one, Moses didn't tell his father-in-law about the true reason for the trip to Egypt. Number two, Moses did not circumcise his son. The Lord wanted him to do his will, but Moses was not even taking care of his own family spiritually. Folks, listen up. If you feel that God is calling you to do something, you need to check your own situation and check if there is anything that hinders your walk with Christ. What if you say, what if you are not called by God to be a pastor or do anything? That's fine. Still, if there is anything that hinders your walk with Christ, you need to remove that. You cannot walk halfway with God and halfway with the world. Another important thing, we must notice is that just because you are called to do something special for the Lord, it doesn't mean that you are not replaceable. Let me say one more time. Just because you are called to do something for the Lord, it doesn't mean that you are not replaceable. God can use anybody. He's using me and He used a donkey to speak the prophet. He's not using us because we are special. Rather, He is including us in His master plan because He's a loving Father. Are you with me on that? I wouldn't doubt that Moses' wife was not happy about the idea of the circumcision of their sons. Circumcision is designed to teach Israelites to have no confidence in the flesh. It is very important that husband and wife worship and serve the Lord Jesus together, not a hindrance to each other. And you may say, I'm not married. Then don't be a hindrance to yourself. Just follow God with all of your heart. If you are the one who has been standing in the way of God and your spouse, take this as a warning, folks. Take this as a warning. You need to be right with God. God may have spoken to you from time after time through your spouse, yet you are not listening. You might be insisting your worldly way to your godly spouse. Stop before God takes extreme measure against you or your spouse. Some of you are thinking, is that a little harsh? No, it's not. I have four applications for you. Number one, it is good when we have no confidence in our fleshly capability, but it is bad when we lack confidence in God. Second application, we shouldn't run ahead of God nor be dragged by Him. We should walk with Him side by side, led by His Holy Spirit, to do His work and in His way, according to His time, mine, not ours. Application number three. God is sufficient for us no matter what kind of inadequacy we have. You may say, well, I cannot serve God because of this or because of that. If God is calling you, He will equip you. Number four. God does not get angry with us for our inability, but our unwilling heart. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.